Amen. Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, we move back to 1 Corinthians in our study, Temple Keepers. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter now, picking up where we left off in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, beginning in the beginning. And I, brothers, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to take it, neither are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that you would bring us to the center of your will. Father, I pray that you would deliver us from carnality. And I thank you for the moment that you have, Father, to speak and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you noticed in recent years it seems more and more those elected to public office, those holding public office, especially in Washington, are acting more and more like spoiled children? They see only one way, their way. They're not willing to discuss options. They're not willing to listen to reason. They are certainly not willing to hear any word of wisdom because they could not recognize it if they heard it. They're constantly spouting their views, their party, their reason. So much so that they shut out all others. As a group, they have little concern for anybody that's not in their group. Anybody that is not like them. They are I, with a capital I, centric. All about me, all about my way, all about my money, all about my time, all about my party. It's kind of childish. And this childish attitude is kind of hard to see which came first, whether the childish attitude was in the populace and then swept into the government, or whether this childish attitude has been in government leaders and then has shifted down to the populace. There are groups of people in our land that refuse order. They protest in the streets. They perceive that they haven't gotten their way, and because of that, they're going to pitch a fit. It's been really interesting to hear some of these people interviewed recently. They interview people that are carrying signs that are violently against whatever our government is doing. It is obvious when they are interviewed, they don't know anything about our nation's history. They don't know anything about our nation's laws, and they don't know anything about the sign that they're holding. They are just pitching a fit as a child. In the United States, you have to be a certain age to hold national office. It is by decree that a person needs to be at least 35 years of age if they are going to be president or vice president of the United States. Now, in case you're wondering, we've never had anybody 35 years of age be president of the United States. Our youngest person to ever assume the office was Teddy Roosevelt. He was 42. Actually, he was 40 when he assumed office. The youngest person to be elected to office was John Kennedy, 43. You have to be 30 years old to be a senator. You have to be 25 years old to be a representative. Now, there is a reason why our forefathers set certain ages as requirements for these offices. And the reason is, it is thought that the one who holds such responsibility should at least be a grown-up. It is a great disappointment that many of the people who have attained those ages have not also attained the maturity that should have gone with it. And And this is not only in the secular world. These attitudes, these childish attitudes, have moved into the Christian world, and that's not new, because the Apostle Paul is dealing with these kind of attitudes in the church at Corinth. And so Paul talks about babies. In verse 1, "And I, brothers, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, we like babies. We like all babies. You know that in my family, we are looking to a new grandchild. We're going to have a new baby. Now, this new baby is going to be different. All new babies are different. This baby is going to be a boy. All of our other grandchildren are girls. This baby will not be any more spoiled than the four that came before this child. Except there will be four mamas that are extra that'll see what they can do. Babies are neat. They are sweet. They are a blessing. People are really quick to point out the similarities between the baby and the parents. "Oh my, looks just like you." When in truth, we know they all look like Winston Churchill. They are going to be babies. Babies, that dirty little secret about babies is babies are selfish. Babies are self-centered. There has never been a baby that has cared about anybody else. If they get hungry, they set off an alarm and cry. If they are wet or otherwise soiled, they set off an alarm and cry. When they are bored and want to be held, they set off an alarm and cry. The baby doesn't care about what you're doing. The baby doesn't care about whether or not you have any sleep at all. They don't care if it's in the middle of the night or if it's early in the morning. They care about their desires. How much this is like a lot of people that hang around churches. People that don't care about what anybody else wants and what anybody else needs. They want everything to be about them. And when they don't get their way, they set off an alarm and cry. Paul is talking about people that are in the church that are acting like babies. And he's talking about Christians. These are saved people. These are people that know Jesus. They're not only Christians, but they've known Jesus for a while. They have been preached to by Paul, by Apollos, by Cephas, by others. They should be at the point in life where they're ready to learn deeper truths, ready to have God pour in greater spiritual knowledge, but they can't take it. They are still acting like children. Babies. Babies in Christ. Listen, God wants to deal with you in a spiritual way. He wants to teach you and pour into you himself. He wants you to grow in the Lord. He wants you to learn to be able to be strong when the great winds of pressure come against you. He wants you to be able to stand. But God cannot pour into you great spiritual truths if he can't break through your carnal nature. God wants to deal with you away from your flesh. To be carnal means to be operating at your base nature. It means to allow your physical world to drive you. It is someone that's interested in the physical and the temporary instead of the life of faith, which is spiritual and eternal. People today just say they want to go deep. Well, listen, you got to go shallow before you can go deep. You've got to learn the basics of the Lord before you're going to be able to go beyond that with the Lord. Babies not only focus on themselves, they require a special diet. Paul says he wanted to feed them strong spiritual food, but he could not. He had to feed them as babies. You know, a baby just can't take steak. They can't chew it. They can't digest it. And so Paul is saying, you're like a child. I'm having to feed you with milk, not solid food. I'm having to try to get the basics of the faith into you that you might be able to stand on it and you might need to be able to start growing up. What has happened in America is we have developed churches full of babies. No wonder we're not reaching a lost world. An army of babies are not going to turn a world to the right. Paul tells us the evidence that proves that they were carnal is their attitudes. Their attitudes were developed envying, strife, and divisions. You see, babies, wanting their own selfish way, try to pull away from others, and so they start their own little groups, and they let everything be known by crying, and they pitch fits, and they tear down instead of building up. When you find yourself focusing on position, property, or prominence instead of surrender, service, and sacrifice, that's evidence that you're carnal. The carnal person is tied to this world. They want things like this world. They act like this world. They talk like this world. In fact, if you put a carnal person and a lost person side by side and you investigated their attitudes and investigated their actions, you would have a hard time at telling the difference. When Paul talks about a growing Christian in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, grow up in the Lord. So the carnal Christian is yielding to this world, changing with the world instead of changing the world. And that's what we're seeing even in pulpits across America. We're seeing churches throw out the Bible so that they can be more like the world. I pray that that will never be said here. So the carnal Christian is yielding to the world, changing with the world. The carnal Christian may not see the need for faithfulness in God's house. They may not see the need to support God's ministry. But that doesn't mean they're not ever in the church. You see, a carnal person in the church is going to be somebody that tends to cause difficulties. They tend to complain. They tend to criticize. They sow envy, strife, and, according to the scripture, division. Today's churches are being torn apart by people who focus on their way instead of God's way. May I challenge you, don't let that be you. People that are marked by criticism instead of Christ. The church at Corinth, they were saying, I'm of Apollos or I'm of Paul. They were picking their group. Some said, I'm of Peter. They needed to just be bowing down to Jesus. And that's what we need today. A believer walking in the Spirit of God will not knowingly criticize and tear down the testimony of another believer. You have heard that before. I promise you, you will hear that again. The carnal Christian is one who acts like a baby in the faith. God calls us to serve, but a baby wants to be served. It's not by accident that companies, in fact, the leading company that attends to babies, call their product Pampers. Babies have to be pampered. And babies in the church just want to be pampered. They don't care about what the lost world needs. They don't care about what other spiritual people need. They don't care what the church needs. They only want their way. You know, it would really be easy just to say these people are lost. Can I tell you, if that is your attitude, if your attitude lines up more with the carnal than with the spiritual, if your attitude is one of envy, of one of selfishness, one of strife, if you are one that is constantly at the seat of divisions, you need to check out your spiritual life and you need to make sure you are saved. But there are some that are saved that act that way. There are only three categories of people on planet Earth. There are the safe. The safe is a child. The safe is a baby. The safe is one who has not reached an age or an understanding of what sinfulness is. So they don't understand their own sinfulness, their own lost situation, and so they can't understand their need for a Savior. Such a person, such an individual that is safe, is taken care of by God. If that safe person dies, God will care for them throughout all eternity. David said of his son, when his son died, his infant child, he said, "I can't go to him, but he can't come to me, but I will go to him." He said in faith, "I believe God, our Heavenly Father, is taking care of that child because he's safe." Now, if you're sitting in this room and you're sitting upright, chances are you're not safe. You've reached an understanding time. You know that what the difference in good and bad, right and wrong, what sin is, and you know that you are a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you are an individual and you know that you're a sinner, you know that you have transgressed God's will and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friend, you are lost. You are lost from God, you are lost from forgiveness, you are lost from peace, and if you die lost, you will be lost from heaven. Now that may not be happy news, but that is truth. And if you are here and you don't have Jesus, you are lost. Now, you are safe, which you are probably not. You may be lost. But when a lost person comes to a point that they understand that they are a sinner and they need a Savior, that they understand that Jesus Christ is God, that He died for them on Calvary's cross to pay for their sins, He was buried, He rose again, and they accept Him as their Savior and Lord, inviting Him to come into their life, they no longer are lost, then they are saved. And I pray that you are saved. And if you don't know that you know that you know you are saved, at the time we give the invitation, I hope you will come to Jesus today. You are either safe, you are lost, or you are saved. Now, if you are saved, there are two classifications of saved people. There are spiritual people. That is an individual that is seeking to walk with God, walking in God's will by God's way. And there are carnal people. People that are walking in their flesh, not walking with God. Their life is stagnant because they have sin in their lives. If you come to Jesus as a lost person, just coming to Jesus, you are an infant in the Lord. You're a babe in Christ. Now, it's expected that you are a babe in Christ. You've got to grow. You've got to learn about Jesus. You've got to know more about Jesus, and you need to grow. We want babes in Christ. We want people to come to Jesus, and we want them to start growing. But if you've been a believer for a while and you should have been growing and you have not, you've allowed sin to get into your life and stagnate your spiritual life, you are more interested in yourself than you are the Savior. My friend, you are carnal. And you are just like a babe in Christ in that you've not grown up, but you're not a babe in Christ because you're not as a newborn babe in Christ because you're not growing at all. The carnal Christian is going to cause problems because they just look at self, and self causes difficulties. Don't let a carnal believer lead you astray. Never follow a carnal believer into church conflict. If you are carnal, I plead with you, confess your sins to God, be honest with God, allow Him to cleanse you, forgive you, and then start growing. To put it very plainly, Paul says, don't be a baby. So he talks about babies. Then he talks about buildings in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's cultivated field. You are God's building. If you're going to grow as a believer, you're going to have to build on the right foundation. The foundation is all important. You're going to have to make sure that it is correct. A great deal of time needs to be put in any building's foundation. I've had the privilege to be at One World Trade Center, the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere. You know, before it could go up, they had to go down. And if you go to One World Trade Center and you're going to go to the top, you're going to begin at the bottom. Because they want you to see that it is anchored in the bedrock under Manhattan. They had to set it in the right foundation, build it on the rock if it was ever going to be able to grow. The only life that will be able to grow in the Lord is the life that is founded in the Lord, that has a firm foundation anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be trusting in Jesus for everything. You need to be standing with Jesus and standing on Jesus. Listen, if you are anchored in Jesus, the storms can come and you will still stand. We get the right foundation by listening to the preaching and teaching and sharing of the gospel. Every time the gospel is presented, the right foundation is being laid. That's why I don't preach a message without telling the gospel. That's why I challenge our Sunday school teachers and our staff to make sure that they are presenting the gospel. The gospel needs to be consistent and it needs to be laid and it needs to be firm in people's life. You see, Jesus is not only the right foundation for your spiritual life, Jesus is the right foundation for your marriage. He is the right foundation for your family. He's the right foundation for your business, and He is the only foundation for the church. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, once the foundation is laid, we need to build on that foundation. We need to make sure that we build with the right materials. God says the right materials are gold, silver, precious stone. He says, don't you dare build with wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. When I think of wood, hay, and stubble, I think of three little pigs. Wood, hay, and stubble. Three little pigs. One little pig decided he was going to build a house. He was going to build a house. He was going to build a house out of straw. And so he built a house out of straw. And another little pig came along. He was going to build a house. He decided he would build a house a little stronger, build it out of sticks. And a third little pig came along. And a little pig came along. And he decided he wanted something that was more sturdy. And he built the house out of brick. I don't know where these pigs got the money or talent to build the houses. That's a different story. So the house that was built out of straw was there, and one day the big bad wolf came, and he said, little pig, let me come in. He said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf said, if you don't, I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house down. He didn't, and so the wolf huffed and puffed and had no problem blowing the house down. Had bacon for breakfast. He went to the next house. It was built out of sticks. He said, little pig, let me come in. He said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. He said, well, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. By the way, parents, This is what you tell your kids you learned in big church today. He said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. So the wolf huffed and puffed, and he blew the house down and had pork chops for lunch. The third little pig was in his house of bricks, and the wolf, being successful on the first two, came and said, little pig, let me come in. He said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And he huffed and he puffed and he blew and he blew and he huffed and he blew and he huffed and he puffed and he blew until he could not blow anymore, and the house was still standing, and the pig stayed safe in his home for dinner. Listen, the wolves of this world are going to attack. You need to make sure you build your life right. You need to make sure that you are putting on the foundation of your life those things that will stand. In verse 10 of chapter 2, Paul tells us that what we need to build on is with the material revealed by the Holy Spirit. What has been revealed by the Holy Spirit? The Word of God. You build on the foundation of Jesus Christ by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is why you need Sunday school. This is not why you need to be in worship. You need to be where the word is taught. Do not ever waste your time in a church that will not proclaim the word of God. We need to hold to God's word. We need to grow by God's word. And listen, time is going to tell whether you've built correctly or not, because the storm is going to come, just like the wolf's blowing. And if you have not built by God's word, you're not going to be able to stand. You're going to be cowering in the corners instead of standing in the faith. God seeks to build you by his word so that you can stand when the going gets tough. And listen, you heard it from me first. The going will one day get tough. Build on God's word. Be in God's house. Be in Sunday school. Worship, study, grow. And so he talks about babies, and he talks about buildings, and then he talks about bonuses. In verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he has built upon it, he shall receive a reward or a bonus. Salvation is a free gift of God. It is offered to anyone who will receive it. I hope you have received Jesus as your Savior. If you have not, I hope you will come today and receive Jesus as your Savior. But if you have not received Jesus as your Savior and you die, my friend, you will face the judgment, and it will not be a happy place. There are two judgments spoken of in the Scriptures. There is the judgment that is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Anyone that dies without Jesus as their Savior dies in their sin. Everybody that dies in their sin will go before the Great White Throne Judgment. Everybody that goes before the Great White Throne Judgment will fail. One sin is all it takes. One sin in your life. You die in that sin, you will be in eternity forever. You'll be in hell forever throughout all eternity. The other judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment is a judgment only for believers. It is for those that have died in Christ. A lot of people say a lot of things about this judgment. I've heard people say, watch out, God's going to put everything you ever did on a big TV screen, and everybody's going to see all the rotten things you've always done in your life. May I tell you, that is not only wrong, it is absolutely unbiblical. God says, I will put your sin away and I will remember it no more. If he remembers it no more, how's it going to go on a screen? Our Lord Jesus died to put sin away. He's not going to keep it and parade it. So what's this about? The great white throne judgment is a judgment of the lost, and if you are lost, you will suffer there. If you are saved, you don't have to go there because your sins were judged when Jesus died for you. So you will go to the judgment seat of Christ, and there your life will be judged, all the things that you have done, whether it is good or whether it is bad. What is the purpose of the judgment? Well, the purpose of the judgment is for bonuses. Listen, heaven is great, but there's a bonus. And so the Lord Jesus will reward individuals for their life as a redeemed individual, for how you have built your life on the Lord, for those you have touched in the Lord, for every drink of water you have given in the Lord's name. God has seen it all. There will be those that are there that have wasted their life. There will be those that are there that have lived a carnal existence. There will be those that are there that have not worked for the Lord but have been selfish through their life, have tried to go their own way instead of God's way, and yet at some point they were saved. And so they are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, and their life will burn up before their eyes like wood, hay, and stubble. Listen, they're still redeemed. They've been redeemed by a Savior. They are still going to go to heaven, but they did not grow up. Jesus has saved them, but they have wasted their lives. My friend, don't let that be you. I don't want to go before Jesus and have nothing to offer him. Believer, are you growing? Are you more like Jesus today than you were yesterday? Have you been living for Jesus? Are you in a surrendered life seeking to be the person he wants you to be? Or are you harboring sin in your life, and you've got a storehouse of unconfessed sin, and that unconfessed sin is keeping you from doing anything for God? And so you're a living carnal. Listen, don't live carnal. Okay, here's where we don't like to go, but I'm going to go there anyway. All of us are carnal sometimes. Now, I don't like that truth, but that is true. Any time that you sin, you are carnal. Any time you are out of God's will, you are carnal. And because I know I'm not perfect, and I know you're not perfect, there are times we are carnal. Now, what I beg you to do is live your life with the minimum carnality. The desire would be not to ever be carnal. But at any point you sin, you step into the carnal world. As soon as you are in the carnal world, act like you are on hot coals. Get off of it. Confess your sin to the Lord. Allow him to forgive and put your life back in place so that you might live growing and producing for the Lord. So one day he might say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you are saved and you're not growing in the Lord, then you got to get rid of the sin that is the barrier. And I don't know what it is, and I'll go further. I don't want to know what it is. I want it gone. And so today, would you mark a mark in the sand? Let today be the day that you determine that you are going to seek to live in the Lord's will. You're going to seek to live a spiritual life as a believer. You're going to seek to grow up. And if you ever see yourself acting selfishly, if you ever see yourself acting carnally, if you ever see yourself acting away from God, at the moment you understand that's what's happening, you're going to get before God, you're going to ask him to forgive you, and you're going to get back in God's way. grow up. And my friend, if we all grow up, our church will grow up. Now, if you are here and you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you need to be saved, and you need to come today, and you need to just say, I want Jesus. God has a purpose for your life. Would you follow Him in that purpose? Maybe you need to be a part of this church family. Come and be part of us. God calls you. I hope you'll come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we pray now that You would move within our hearts, that You would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, I pray for believers. Father, I pray that we would stop a carnality of life, that we would start growing in You, that we would start seeking Your way and Your will, accomplishing Your purposes, Father, for Your glory. And Father, as a result, we will know Your joy. And Father, I pray for those here that do not know You. Anyone, Father, that cannot say that they know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that right now they would understand they need You and they would come and just say, I want Jesus. Move us to decision. And I pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You come as we sing.